Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Natural Eating with Alyssa. We're gearing up for this year, 2024, and this is part two. There's so much information that the America's Test Kitchen book puts out, and, you know, this book called Kitchen Gear, the Ultimate Owner's Manual, certainly has enough information for two lifetimes. But the bottom line is, my mother didn't teach me any of this stuff, so I went out there and decided to learn it myself. And it's been a wonderful process. I think what's so amazing is that I've been doing this show for 15 years now. And it's something that every week I'm learning something new. Every month I'm focusing on a different topic. Today, looking at walking up, if you will, waking up, to feeling saucy, to knife skills, to cutting boards, we'll be covering quite a few things. And I'm doing something a little bit different this show, in that I'm including the recipes right in with everything. So rather than just have the last 8 minutes segments be about recipes, it's going to be woven into the whole show. So that way you can have your pens ready. If you haven't gotten one, go get one. And so you can take your notes. But this, you know, kitchen gear is quite an amazing combination of testing and of just good practical information. America's Test Kitchen, I just want to do a salute out to them because they have provided the books for me and they have certainly been a wonderful resource. So we're opening up the second month of this year, calling it Walk Your World. So, you know, cooks have certainly briskly tossed and stirred and flipped foods in this wonderful vessel for centuries. But is a wok worth keeping in your kitchen? So I think it talks about the kinds of things you can do with woks and the fact that woks certainly work well when they're flat-bottomed. The other woks were certainly designed for traditional use on Chinese stoves that had pit-shaped burners. And those concave burners cradled the wok and heated the entire outside surface, not just the bottom. But that's not our stovetops, and that's not what we are working with. So the flat Western-style stove burner certainly needs the contact with the heating element, and it makes the wok inefficient. So this is why the flat-bottom wok, while certainly not traditional, they're the choice that America's Test Kitchen certainly makes for cooking on a Western stove. So that flattened bottom allows this type of wok to have a good amount of direct contact with the heating element. So it gets hot, and it stays hot, even as you load it up with ingredients, and even when using it on an electric or an induction burner, because it's got that nice flat surface. When using a wok on an electric or a conduction burner, just preheat it for a few extra minutes to give the heat time to conduct up sides of the, as you make the wok begin to work. There's sort of a steam zone that happens. And they talk about getting a lid for the wok, which not all woks come with lids. The best woks, they felt, were because they tested cast iron and lightweight cast iron and carbon steel. They found that the carbon steel woks, they're lighter and they're more responsive to heat than the cast iron woks, and they make it easier to maneuver them. And they also like the woks with long wooden handles, that are angled slightly upward because they stay cool and they offer better leverage and control. And then if you're looking at a lid, the dome-shaped wok lids are handy, and they contain splatters, and they also help to steam in the wok. And so if it didn't come with one, you can buy one separately. Just look for lids made to fit 14-inch woks. And just make a note that because the lid sits inside the wok, a lid designed to fit that 14-inch wok might measure more like 12 inches from rim to rim. So you have your wooden handle, you have your wonderful lid, and then they talk about a fish spatula, which works really well. It has more flexibility. Now, seasoning that wok, the favorite woks are made of carbon steel, which does need a layer of seasoning to protect it from rust. And so they have a way to season that, and when you're seasoning anything, a cast iron skillet or a wok, you want to heat a thin layer of oil until it bonds with the pan. And that's a process called polymerization. You'll never use that word at any other time in your life. But over time, those thin layers of polymerized oil will build up to create a natural, non-stick, durable surface. And it keeps the moisture away from the metal surface so it won't rust. And I think that's just, you know, what you're basically doing is take the pans. If there's any coating on top, you want to use some hot water and dish soap and then dry the pan completely and then put it over low heat to finish the drying. And then you're going to add about a third of a cup of oil and two-thirds of a cup of salt. And you're going to be now they're adding peels from two potatoes. You can slice an onion and use that as a substitute with the peels. And then you're cooking over medium heat, and you're occasionally moving the peels around the pan and up the sides. If you're using an onion, you want to cook for 15 minutes. If you're using a potato, it might be 8 to 10 minutes. And you want to make sure that the onion or the potato turns real dark brown, almost burnt. And then you discard those contents and you allow the pan to cool and you rinse it thoroughly and you dry that pan and return it to medium heat to finish the drying. And so, you know, what's going on there is basically you want to make sure that you've warmed the oil and seasoned it all the way up to the rim so that every bit of its surface gets coated. And they talk about, you know, that food that's been cooked in a well-seasoned wok can acquire what they call wok hai, which is a savory, fragrant essence. It's the ultimate reward of a great stir-fry. It's sort of its unique flavor and aroma. It's hard to describe, but it's kind of smoky or grilled, even metallic is used sometimes. Some of the words that they hear frequently. And that wok, cooking experts think that the wok hai flavor comes down to a few different factors. The aroma compounds that are formed when the oil gets very hot, and the chemical interaction between the foods and the components of the wok, seasoned steel, and that accumulated browning and caramelization that reacts, that happens when the heat is turned way up. So this is wonderful. You know, make sure that you keep your wok nice and clean. Hold on one sec. When you've just stir-fried that wonderful dinner that you're serving and you're ready to serve, but you want to hold on because it's important to clean your wok while it's still warm. So you can take just an extra couple of minutes to clean your wok, and you'll be able to relax over your whole meal. If your wok is well seasoned and no food is stuck, you want to rinse your still warm wok under hot tap water, inside and out. If the food is stuck to your wok, add a few cups of water and bring it to a boil and this loosens the food so you can scrape it off. If needed, you're going to scrub lightly and then wipe it dry and return the wok to the still warm burner to dry it thoroughly and go enjoy your dinner. So this is something where, you know, you've taken care of the meal, you've taken care of the cleaning, and now you can enjoy, after dinner. You can turn that burner to medium or medium high and add just a little bit of vegetable oil and wipe it around the entire interior of the wok using paper towels until it seems to be gone. It's not, don't worry. And then you continue heating the wok for a few minutes, wiping away any oil that beads up, and then switch off the burner, leaving your clean, happy wok in place until it's cool. I love the way they anthropomorphize the wok, making it feel like a friend. If your wok is looking a little rusty, don't worry. The rust will disappear as soon as you get a layer of oil bonded on. And you want to gently scrub off the rust with steel wool or the scrubby side of a sponge. And then rinse it well, dry it fully, and then oil that wok as you did, in the above steps. So this is just one of those things where the wok is certainly wonderful for stir frying. And it is so good because it browns uniformly, that the vegetables lose their raw edge, but they retain their vibrant color and their fresh crunch, which is wonderful, so it's not overcooked. You know, one obvious benefit of cooking in a wok is that its high sloping walls allow you to move the food easily around all the cooking surfaces without spilling it over the sides. But that wok's tall side also creates two distinct heat zones that work in tandem to cook the food efficiently and evenly. So the bottom of the wok, which makes direct contact with the heat source, can reach pretty high temperatures, up to 750 degrees Fahrenheit, which cooks and browns the food very rapidly. And that's one reason that you don't want a nonstick wok. But the second zone, a couple of inches above the wok's base, that's the steam zone. And that's where the moisture escaping from the food is trapped by the walls of the wok. And it works to cook the food through even more quickly. And I think this is something that, in this situation, the speed, the efficiency, and that vigorous stirring process helps the food cook through faster. That ensures that all the food surfaces come into contact with that hot pan. And as we talked about, you're looking at the carbon steel wok that they prefer. And it is lighter, and it is more responsive to heat than the cast iron woks. So, the wok is a nice size, and so if you can have the weight be something that you enjoy lifting rather than make it a workout, is certainly something that you can consider. And, I think what I enjoy about America's Test Kitchen, lots of photographs, which I love, and lots of just little tips, little chatty talks, which I certainly enjoy. And in looking at one dish that you might consider cooking, they have a stir-fried cumin lamb. And as they say, there's no better tool for making stir-fried than a well-seasoned wok. The slick surface means that no little pieces will get stuck and burn. And the high sides keep food contained during all that stirring. So if the lamb shoulder chops are unavailable, you can substitute a pound of boneless leg of lamb or beef flank steak, or you just want to trim the meat and cut with the grain into 2 to 2.5 inch wide strips before freezing and slicing. So what you're looking at is you're going to be cutting the bones from the lamb and trim all visible connective tissue. So you've got 14 to 16 ounce lamb shoulder chops, about 3/4 to 1 inch thick. And you should have about a pound of lamb after you trim it. You're going to transfer the lamb to the plate and freeze it until firm, about 15 minutes. And then you're going to slice the meat on the bias against the grain, on the bias, a quarter of an inch thick, and combine about a tablespoon of water and baking soda in a medium bowl. Add the lamb and toss to coat. Let it sit for about 5 minutes. And then you're combining 4 cloves of garlic that have been minced and about a tablespoon of grated fresh ginger. I just love fresh ginger. There's just something very pungent about it that works so well with garlic. And then you're combining a little cumin, just about a tablespoon of cumin seeds that have been ground, and the chili flakes, maybe 2 teaspoons of chili flakes, not a lot. And then you're adding peppercorns, about 1 1/4 teaspoons of Szechuan peppercorns that have been ground. So you're making basically a spice that you're going to be coating with the lamb. Then you're going to be using sugar. So you're combining cumin, chili flakes, peppercorns, and sugar in another second small bowl. Then you're going to add a little soy sauce, about 4 teaspoons of dark soy sauce. And they use a Szechuan wine, about a tablespoon. I'm not a wine person, but if you like it, there you go. And just a half a teaspoon of cornstarch, just a little bit of thickener, and salt the lamb. This lamb mixture, you're going to toss all this, the lamb into all this. So you're going to be heating a 14-inch flat-bottom wok over high heat until just smoking, about 3 minutes. And then you're going to drizzle about a teaspoon of oil around the perimeter of the wok and heat it until just smoking. And add half of the lamb mixture and cook. You're going to toss slowly, but constantly, and until just cooked through. It takes 1 to 3 minutes. And then transfer that to a clean bowl, and then repeat with the teaspoon of oil and the remaining lamb mixture, and transfer it to the bowl. So you're not doing it all at once. You're doing 2 batches. And then you're heating the remaining tablespoon of oil in that wok that's empty over medium heat, and it's shimmering, and add the garlic mixture, and cooking constantly. So it's the garlic and the ginger and the cumin and the pepper flakes and the sugar. Oops, no. It's just the garlic and the ginger. And you're going to be heating. So then you add the onion, and you keep cooking it. So you've got the garlic, and you've got the garlic mixture, and you've got that wonderful onion, and you're tossing it slowly but constantly until the onion begins to soften. It takes about a minute or two. And then you return the lamb to the wok and toss it to combine all those wonderful flavors together. And sprinkle the cumin mixture over the lamb and toss until the onion takes on sort of a pale orange color. And transfer it to a serving platter and sprinkle with cilantro. That adds that beautiful bright green and serve. So, you know, the wok is certainly a wonderful tool to have in your kitchen. And it's certainly good for a number of different things. You know, it's sort of like, you know, what else can you make in your wok? They are good for stir frying, but it's way beyond this one technique. They can be used for small batch deep frying. Although to fry larger amounts, you'll either need to fry in batches or turn it, or go to a Dutch oven and do it there. They also can be filled partway with water and used to boil or poach or braise. So, you know, coupled with a dome-shaped wok cover, you can even use steamed food, or you can pop popcorn. So who thought of that? That sounds like fun. And, you know, when you're looking at, again, something to toss, you want to use a fish spatula. And that works so much better. That fish spatula is opened, and it certainly allows you to work with the wok and the wok surface and to move food around that flat-bottom wok. So when we come back, we're going to be having many more talks about food and recipes. I think what's interesting about gearing up is that sometimes you're using something new this year. Sometimes you're using something that you've had, but you just didn't know how you wanted to use it. And so if this hopefully stimulates you to think about new ideas. I hadn't considered making popcorn on a walk. I think that's great. So, you know, it's just that notion that you can do that. We'll be talking about shrimp toast when we come back. So, again, make sure you've got your pens and pencils handy and a notebook. I know I like to take notes of the things that I want to experiment with later on. So hopefully you'll enjoy the same thing. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's S-U-N-F-L-A-I-R.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net's homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And welcome back to Natural Eating. Got gearing up that we're doing for 2024, part two. In looking at the walk and doing some of the food that you can certainly do in one, they talk about shrimp toast. So because these finger sandwiches that were born of a fusion of Hong Kong and British cuisine, they're deep fried in a wok, and they require only a couple quarts of oil to become golden and crispy, and any size shrimp can be used in this recipe. So you're going to have a pound of shrimp that's been peeled, deveined, and the tails removed and divided. And you're finally chopping half of the shrimp, that's a half a pound, and then cut the remaining shrimp into half-inch pieces. So you're going to be using a wooden spoon or four bundled chopsticks. Sounds interesting. And vigorously stir all of the shrimp, the egg white, so you've got one large egg white, and a ginger. You have a 2 teaspoons of grated fresh ginger, and then you have a garlic. So you have 1 clove of garlic that's been minced, and you're going to be adding just a little bit of sugar, just a teaspoonful of sugar, and a pinch of salt, in effect, a half a teaspoon of table salt, and I would use sea salt. And so you've got the egg white, the ginger, the garlic, the sugar, the salt, and a little white pepper, about a pinch of white pepper. And you put all that in a bowl until that mixture tightens and becomes kind of sticky. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes. And then you remove the crust from the bread and trim slices to measure roughly 3.5 inches square. And you're going to spread that shrimp mixture evenly over one side of each bread slice. And then sprinkle it with sesame seeds, and pressing gently to let it adhere. That coated bread can be covered and refrigerated for up to 24 hours if you want to. And then you set the wire rack on a rimmed baking sheet and line half of the rack with a triple layer of paper towels, and add oil to a 14-inch flat-bottomed wok until it measures up about an inch and a half deep, and heat over a medium-high heat to about 350 degrees. So you're carefully adding 3 slices of bread, shrimp side down, to that hot oil, and cook until the edge of the bread is just golden brown, about 3 minutes. And, you know, adjust the burner if necessary. You can maintain the oil temperature between 325 to 350 degrees. And then using tongs, you're going to flip the toast and continue to cook until the bread is uniformly golden brown, up to 30 to 45 seconds. And using a spider skimmer or a slotted spoon, you're going to transfer the toast shrimp side up to a paper towel that's been lined on a prepared rack. And you let it drain for about a minute, and then move to an unlined side of the rack, and you return the oil to 350 degrees, and repeat with the remaining toast. So before cooking the second batch, you want to line the rack with fresh paper towels. So that way, each time you put the new piece of toast that you've finished frying, shrimping, you want to let the toast cool for about 5 minutes, and then you cut them in half diagonally and transfer it to a beautiful serving platter, and sprinkle with scallions and serve. So you've got that lovely green color, that lovely pink color, and so that's kind of fun. And looking at a good sheet, rimmed baking sheets are so versatile that at least one or two of them deserve a place in every kitchen. You know, they use them to roast meats and vegetables and toast seeds and nuts, to cool food and bake all kinds of treats. So you want to look at what you can do with this. The difference between a rimmed baking sheet and a cookie sheet, your rimmed baking sheets are also called sheet pans, and they come in handy for so many different kitchen tasks that it's hard to name them all, but they use them to bake cookies, to roast vegetables and proteins, and to toast nuts and seeds, and they even occasionally use one as a makeshift pizza peel or baking stone. But there's a difference between a rimmed baking sheet and a cookie sheet. The cookie sheets might be a little better for cookies, but the main difference between the two is that a cookie sheet lacks the low sides of a rimmed baking sheet, which can have a slight impact on how airflow passes over the food. Insulated baking sheets, are they any good? What about the nonstick sheets? You know, give us plain old uninsulated nonstick baking sheets any day. These added features actually make the baking sheets less versatile. Instead, you want to, you know, instead of buying an insulated sheet, one with a layer of air sandwiched between the two, you can create your own insulated sheet by stacking two regular baking sheets, and the stacked sheets will trap a layer of insulated air between the two. And I don't think we have time for this recipe, so I'm going to save it for the next 8-minute segment. But I think what's important is those rimmed baking sheets and a wire cooling rack. This is a woman named Hannah who's with America's Test Kitchen. You know, name a more iconic duo. The rack elevates food so that air can circulate underneath for even cooking and cooling. And the baking sheet below contains any mess, so it makes it easier to use. So they also like to use them for holding food before and after frying. What a bonus. And the wire rack makes a handy cooling trivet for a hot-from-the-oven baking sheet. You know, I think the fact that, looking back at my childhood, we had people in our kitchen who helped make food, and I always loved being in the kitchen with them and enjoyed spending time learning what they did. My mother was really good at making reservations. Don't get me wrong. She was very good at taking us out to dinner, and we certainly experienced all different kinds of food because Southern California is certainly known for its variety of different kinds of food and different kinds of cuisine. And so as my childhood was filled with lots of different kinds of food, it's certainly given me a chance to enjoy it as an adult. So when we come back, we'll be talking about sheet pan, huevos rancheros.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflare.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to elyssachefforyou@live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number 4, the letter U, at live.com. ElyssaChefForYou@live.com. Start learning now.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Order one of Alyssa's 4 recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
It's a fact. With Clarins, life is more beautiful, and so are you. If you love beauty, and let's face it, love is behind everything we do, then you'll love Clarins beauty products. I use Clarins, and people ask me all the time how I stay looking so young. I tell them it's love. But now you know my real secret. It's Clarins. They have a full line of highly effective beauty products containing the highest quality ingredients while respecting the environment. Who wouldn't love that? Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Clarins and make your life more beautiful, starting with you.
Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Gearing Up. 2024. So in looking at making sheet pan Pueblos Rancheros, which look quite beautiful, by the way, you're going to be stacking two rimmed baking sheets, which will trap that layer of insulation and insulating air between, which help the eggs cook very gently and evenly in the oven. So that I know I enjoy the eggs just a little bit runny. They do too. If you want your yolks cooked a little more, you just cook them to the end of the time range in what they call step four. So you're going to be adjusting the oven rack to the lowest and middle positions and heat the oven to 500 degrees. So it's warm up for 500. And then you're going to be draining tomatoes. That's the two 28-inch cans of diced tomatoes. And you're putting that fine mesh strainer set over the bowl so that you press with a rubber spatula to extract as much juice as possible. And you're combining 1 3/4 cups of drained tomatoes, juice, just a little bit of sugar, just a tablespoon of packed brown sugar, and lime juice. About a tablespoon of lime juice. I love that combination. In a bowl, and you set it aside, and you discard any extra drained juice. And now you're combining your tomatoes. Again, that's two 28-ounce cans of tomatoes. And your onion. You got one onion that you've chopped. And your chilies. That's about a half of a cup of canned chopped green chilies. And garlic. And you're using, not that much garlic, just a couple of cloves of garlic, or up to 4 cloves of garlic if you want that have been sliced thin, and just a little bit of salt, tiny bit of salt, a pinch of it, half a teaspoon of table salt. Again, I like the sea salt. So you're combining the tomatoes, the onion, the chilies, the oil, not much oil, about a fourth of a cup, of extra virgin olive oil, and this again is going to be putting this spice on top of the tomatoes. So you're going to spread that mixture evenly on the baking sheet, and then you place the sheet with the tomato mixture on the upper rack, and you're going to be roasting it until it's charred in spots. It takes about 35 to 40 minutes, again, in that preheated oven at 500 degrees. And you're stirring and redistributing it into layer, an even layer halfway through. And you remove the sheet from the oven and you place it inside the second rimmed baking sheet. Carefully stir the reserved tomato juice mixture into the roasted vegetables. And I'm just looking at all of what there's here. And you're going to sprinkle the pepper jack over the top, and using the back of the spoon, hollow out 8 3-inch wide holes in the mixture. Then you're going to crack an egg into each hole and season with salt and pepper. And you're baking until the whites are just beginning to set, but still have some movement when the sheet is shaken. It takes about 7 to 8 minutes for slightly runny yolks, or 9 to 10 minutes for soft cooked yolks. And you're rotating the sheet halfway through that baking. And then you're removing the sheet from the oven, and you top it with, you take an avocado, and you half it, dice it, and you take 2 scallions that you sliced thin, and about a fourth of a cup of fresh minced cilantro. And you serve using a spatula that slides underneath the eggs and the sauce, and gently transfer it to warm tortillas. Oh, yum. So this is quite a wonderful dish to serve for holidays, for friends, for a Sunday brunch. And it's colorful, the scallions and the tomatoes, you've got beautiful colors. And so I think, you know, looking at the whole mixture, you certainly have something that you can enjoy. You know, they talk about stealing saucy, but saucepans don't get enough appreciation for all that they do in the kitchen. you know, it's time to change that and give a little love to their lesser-known cousins. So a sauté pan is like a cross between a saucepan and a skillet with a broad cooking surface and L-shaped sides, so it's squared off as opposed to rounded. They don't consider them a must-have, but they're a good choice for braising, shallow frying, or wilting large amounts of greens. Skillets are sometimes erroneously labeled with sauté pans, but in fact, they're two distinct pan types. Whereas a saucepan is a long-handled pot with a relatively high straight sides, and you know, you can make soups and pastas and puddings, anything liquid or saucy that doesn't merit pulling out a big, heavy Dutch oven. And then a saucière, which is a bowl-like saucepan with a wider mouth and flared walls, and they can do everything a saucepan can do, but they excel at cooking foods that require a lot of stirring. You know, think of custard or oatmeal or risotto or even polenta, because their cornerless design allows utensils to move around uninhibited and leaves nowhere for food to get stuck. That could certainly make it burn. So their wide mouth design promotes evaporation, so they're good for reducing sauces. You know, you should probably have at least two saucepans, one that holds 3 to 4 quarts and one with a 2-quart capacity. You know, the larger size works great for cooking macaroni and cheese or steamed vegetables, making those soft and hard cooked eggs, and so much more. And then for smaller households, the large saucepan can be used instead of a Dutch oven or a stock pot for cooking. And you could cook pasta or soups, stews, chili. So the smaller saucepan comes in handy for making custard and melting butter and reheating a few you know, servings of soup or boiling a few eggs, so smaller amounts. Non-stick saucepans certainly help with cleanup. Could be an issue, such as making pastry cream or rice. You know, given that these are the kinds of recipes that can be made in a smaller pot, it makes sense to make your 2-quart saucepan non-stick model. A large saucepan, on the other hand, is often used for dishes that involve browning, which is easier to monitor against the light finish. So when we come back, we're going to have a sauce, a caramel sauce recipe. Stay tuned.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflare.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com. channel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to Elyssa, chef4u, at live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number 4, the letter U, at live.com. Elyssa, chef4u, at live.com. Start learning now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
And when you're looking at feeling saucy and using saucepans and all-purpose caramel sauce, it's certainly fun. Again, it's sort of, unfortunately, the caramel is a little bit notorious for going from perfectly caramelized to burnt in seconds. So making it in a highly conductive stainless steel or even better copper saucepan reduces the risk that residual heat from the pan can cause it to burn once it's removed from the heat. So, you know, in addition, you want a good pan. You know, you'll want an instant read thermometer to assess the caramel's doneness. And you want to serve this sauce over, oh, so many wonderful things. You could serve it over ice cream, cake, fresh fruit. So you certainly have a lot of versatility with this sauce. So you're going to be using a cup and three quarters of granulated sugar. I certainly would like the brown sugar. It adds a whole layer of flavor that granulated sugar doesn't have. So you're bringing sugar and half a cup of water and a fourth of a cup of light corn syrup, and you put all those together and you bring it to a boil in a large, heavy-bottom saucepan over medium-high heat, and you cook without stirring until the mixture is straw-colored, about 6 to 8 minutes. And then you're going to reduce heat to low and continue to cook, swirling the saucepan occasionally until the mixture is amber-colored. And it'll register between 350, 360 to 370 degrees. That just takes 2 to 5 minutes longer. Off the heat, quickly but carefully, you stir in 1 cup of heavy cream and about a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and you continue to stir until the sauce is nice and smooth. The sauce can be refrigerated for up to 2 weeks, so this is something you can make ahead of time, and you can reheat it, they say, in the microwave, you know, stirring frequently until it's warm and smooth. I would use it just reheated in the saucepan on top of the stove, so there's certainly wonderful use for caramel sauce. Yum, yum, yum. Just sweet, sweetness. You certainly can use a stovetop roasting pan. And I'm not going to talk about that right now. I am going to share one more quick recipe. It talks about the Peruvian roast chicken with Swiss chard and sweet potatoes. And actually, I'm not going to talk about that because I don't think we have enough time. But I want to talk about baking dishes and pans, that there are certainly different baking dishes you can use, these glass baking dishes that do not want to be used under a broiler, so you don't do that. The glass certainly retains heat. They can certainly cause a little dryness in baked goods that are allowed to cool completely in the pan, so if you cook brownies or whatever. The rounded corners for easy scooping, but less sharp-edged baking goods. And they're scratch-proof, and they're safe to use with metal utensils. So they produce lighter-colored baked goods. Now, your ceramic or your porcelain baking dish can withstand that direct heat, such as boiling. So you can't do it with glass, but you can do it with ceramic, up to 550 degrees. So certainly have more range if you're going to be using a ceramic or a porcelain baking dish. The rounded corners are certainly easy for scooping, but less sharp-edged baking goods. And you're scratch-proof and safe, and it's good to use with metal utensils. So both the glass and the ceramic are good for metal. And they produce, again, that lighter-colored baked good. Now, your metal baking pans, different story altogether. They may be nonstick or uncoated, but the nonstick pans can't be used under the broiler, and they're not scratch-proof. Some models have straight sides and crisp corners that produce more professional-looking baked goods. Your uncoated pans may react with acidic ingredients if it's made with aluminum. So you want to produce your baked goods that like more browning. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we look at when we're choosing to buy things. I know knives are something that I have enjoyed, the zirconian knives, quite a bit. I have all these knives, and I quite frankly use the paring knife and the chef's knife probably the most. The serrated knife I tend to use with bread or things that I want to... you can certainly use it for slicing sandwiches and splitting up your cake layers. But it's also good for tomatoes and watermelon and pineapple, and even finely chopping chocolate. So your serrated knife certainly has quite a few ranges of possibilities here. The chef knife, I just love chef knives, and I like the stainless steel. I like the zirconian. That Western-style chef knife, it's certainly an all-purpose workhorse. You're probably going to rely on it for all kinds of prep, from mincing garlic to chopping piles of greens, you know, to slicing the salmon. So, you know, you certainly, your Japanese shantoku knives are a good option if you like a slightly smaller but certainly no less versatile tool. And the knives that feature that fusion of Western and Japanese design are certainly light and super sharp and precise. They're I don't even know how to pronounce it. So G-Y-U-T-O-U, Gyuto. Whatever style you use, this will probably be one of the most hardworking and all-purpose knives in your collection. The paring knife, it's just a sharp, nimble little knife. It's invaluable for things that require precision, as scoring or peeling fruits and vegetables. So you certainly, a good knife can make the kitchen so much more pleasant. And I think it's knowing that keeping your knife sharpened is something that will always make the kitchen more pleasant to work in. And it certainly makes the job you're doing certainly so much more easier. And I think this is something that gearing up for this year, making sure that you gift yourself, if you don't have it already, really good knives. And I think this is something that I certainly have enjoyed having them, and just pass on that wisdom to you. When we come back, we'll have closing thoughts. Come on back. Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488.
760-251-7488. Call today.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
A better world begins with you. Find out how on HealthyLife.net.
And thank you for joining me today on gearing up to this new year, 2024. I think, you know, looking at what you have in your kitchen, looking at what you need for your kitchen, it's certainly time at the beginning of the year to see how you want to gear up, if you will, for things that you might not have. You know, good cutting boards, good knives make all the difference in the world. I think, you know, that you certainly don't want to put your good wood or your bamboo boards in the dishwasher. it's just too harsh for the boards. And the detergent certainly wears away the finish. But, you know, you just want to make sure that the harder woods like maple or cherry, that bamboo, they're just gentle on the knives. And in the long run, they're something that you might want to have. So enjoy your kitchen this year, and I'll see you next month.